Welcome to the Green Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Constable. The Green Cycle Podcast is a monthly conversation with Li-Cycle's leaders and other experts in the clean tech and sustainability industry. In this episode, we introduce ourselves to you. Who is Li-Cycle? What makes their approach to recycling and resource recovery different? Li-Cycle co-founders RJ Kashar and Tim Johnston answer those questions and much more. Welcome, both of you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Lee.
Great to be here.
So I have a lot of questions about Li-Cycle and who you are and what you do. So RJ is the co-founder and president and also CEO as well as executive director. And Tim is also a co-founder, executive chairman of Li-Cycle. So Tim, RJ, could you explain to me, first of all, in a nutshell, when you meet someone for the first time and they ask you what Li-Cycle is, who are you? What does your organization do?
So Li-Cycle is a lithium-ion battery recycling company. We are a commercial business. We're doing this today. Now, what are lithium-ion batteries? Well, look around you in everyday life, from smartphones to smart appliances or cordless appliances, now, of course, to electric vehicles. If you pay attention to the news, in the future, flying taxis, it's endless. So these applications are all tied by a common technology, and that's the lithium-ion battery, rechargeable type of lithium-ion battery. So what we do is renew and unlock the value from those batteries of all types, as long as it's lithium-ion, and bring back those fundamental building blocks into the supply chain again. This has been historically difficult. They've been treated like a waste, and we've taken a new lens, a circular economy, critical material focused, and also sustainability lens that's both economically oriented as well as environmentally oriented to unlock the value from these materials as they power our world and electrify the future of transportation and so many more applications. And that's what Li-Cycle is in a nutshell.
Wow. So that's obviously going to be more and more important. It's also already a very important thing when it comes to energy and the global context. Tim, I wanted to ask though, what is your organization's reach? Where are you based and are you more of a local lithium recycling organization or are you looking to go global?
Yeah, excellent question. I mean, we consider ourselves a global organization. We have people working within Li-Cycle all around the globe in every major region. But recycling itself is inherently regional. So we actually started out in Canada. We built our first operation in Kingston, Ontario, which is just to the east of Toronto. We then built our second operation in New York on the south side of the border in the United States. And we're continuing to expand within the United States and Canada as we continue to build out our operations here in North America. But that's just the start. You know, over the next 5 years, we're going to build out additional facilities in Asia and in Europe as we continue to move to a more global footprint with our customers who we actually receive batteries from, but also those same customers we ultimately supply the materials back to.
So I wanted to ask also why this is a problem. RJ, I know that you mentioned that this has been something that's historically difficult. What are the problems that you're solving here and why could they be problems if you don't do what you do?
Yeah, and maybe the place to start here is from a bit of a story standpoint, and Tim should chime in here after, you know, our background and then how did that lead to identifying this and then what is the solution here that we're bringing to the table? So we're both engineers. I'm a chemical engineer. Tim will expand here after, but he's a mechanical engineer. So we've worked in this space for a long time. But it was the other end of the food chain, per se. So we were actually on the mining and refining side, focused on the production of lithium chemicals that go into lithium-ion batteries. And there's a very long supply chain that actually ultimately ends up in a battery, then a device, and then what people see in front of them, right? So we were really focused there, very technical. And I think for Tim and then by me by extension, you know, this question of the end of life cycle and then the cradle to cradle, you know, how does this whole supply chain ultimately link up was a recurring question. And we were doing a lot of work in building new facilities, typically in a mining context, to make these chemicals. And that naturally brings up questions, right? Is, you know, as that's growing rapidly, okay, wait, hold up, where do all these batteries go, you know, at the end of life? And that's a very logical question, right? And the other part of that too is, and we saw this being in the industry, you know, as you make new materials, there's always a level of production waste or scrap as well, right? So even before you get to the end of life tsunami, you already have material that needs to be recycled that can't go in landfill. So that was really the impetus for us to get into this. And it was that curiosity, and then I'd say combined with frustration, we didn't see the right solution out there that led to the inception of LifeCycle. And, you know, so the bigger picture of what we're doing, and I'll pause, and then, you know, Tim should add on here in terms of the story, you know, why is what we're doing important and what's the problem that we're solving? It's really twofold. First, lithium ion batteries, they're not like a scrap metal. Okay, so they have electrical complexity, thermal complexity, chemical complexity. They can't be thrown in landfill. And it would actually be a huge shame, obviously, if that's what was happening to them. So that's the first problem that we're solving, is where do these materials go and how are they treated in a fit for purpose way, not treating them like a waste and a non-renewable resource, because the reality is they can totally be a renewable resource. And so that's the first part of the equation. The second part of the equation is, and I alluded to it when I opened, lithium ion batteries are powering everything, right? And we're right at the first innings here of this technology really proliferating in our economies, in our lives, transportation, et cetera. So the whole supply chain scaling. One of the bottlenecks is critical materials. So what goes in these batteries is more than just lithium. Lithium is a critical material, but there's other things like nickel and cobalt and much more. We can get into that. So actually what needs to happen is we need to supply a lot of those materials to make this whole revolution real and to actually make it happen. So recycling is a clean, sustainable, traceable, ESG-friendly source of those critical materials that can actually help to mitigate some of those bottlenecks that we're facing in the supply chain today. So those are the two problems that we're solving. One is batteries that need to be treated the right way, but secondarily, supplying back these critical and precious resources to make new batteries again as well.
As people from the engineering mining side, you've kind of seen that whole end of the spectrum, as well as the potential for this to be a loop as opposed to, or a cycle, dare I say, as opposed to something that goes in one direction. So Tim, what do you think people kind of assume this is something that's impossible or harder than it is?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, when we first started looking at this, people said that this is not a problem for today. They said this is a problem for 10 years. This is a problem, you know, once the world's already turned completely green and we're all driving electric vehicles, that's when you're going to need LifeCycle. But fundamentally, you know, we believe that you can't have an EV revolution. You can't have a move towards green energy that relies on energy storage using these materials if you don't have a recycling method and a renewable way to get these materials back into the supply chain. And that was the fundamental issue of the industry. They were really being treated as a waste. There was a marginal product where people were paying a lot of money to basically dispose of these materials because they were just trying to get rid of them, trying to get them out of our lives. And as a result, they were ultimately actually ending up in traditional mining assets. They were going into smelting facilities and high temperature processing where they're burning off a whole lot of material and generating waste and emissions. And so, well, this can't be. If we really believe in electrification, we really believe in a green economy that uses these materials, we can't treat them like that because, A, we're going to continue to pollute this world that we live in. We're going to make it a worse place to live in ultimately. But also from a waste perspective, we look at the materials that are in a lithium-ion battery and go, wow, as a mining, you know, engineer, a mining metallurgist, I wish there was a deposit that was as healthy as this from a resource potential. There's so much valuable materials in here. You know, what are we doing to throwing these things away and burning off different components? It just doesn't make any sense. And so, hence LifeCycle.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing is it's a very human, well, modern day human, at least, mentality that waste even exists rather than it being a resource. So it's also something that strikes me as a main way that some who kind of want to hold on to the status quo have been able to say, oh, you know, this future that people want is not possible. Oh, did you know that there's actually a lot of waste from the batteries? Do you know, did you know that this is actually an environmental problem too? And it does actually make hypocrites of us if we actually believe in moving towards an economically and environmentally sustainable future. So I wanted to ask more about what that looks like as a team, you know. What are the various parts of your team? What are the different programs and how does this all fit together?
One of the benefits of how RJ and I work together is we actually complement each other. We both come from a technical background. You know, you're not going to meet a smarter guy on the technical side than RJ. At the same time, RJ is a great organizer and we have a whole division around how do we actually get materials? And this comes back to our commercial group. That's the sourcing of the battery materials. Then it's also about how do we sell our products and dealing with the customers on the back end of the process. But of course, you know, we're dealing with corporate development activities continuously, whether or not it's capital raising, investment, M&A. You know, so there's a whole structure around that, in addition to all the other corporate functions that RJ ultimately oversees, like HR and finance and legal and those aspects. For myself, I really sit on the technical side of the business in terms of supported by a great technical team and our CTO, Chris Biederman, for the development of new assets and new capital projects, but as well as R&D. I mean, one of the things that we sort of pride ourselves on as being Lifecycle is continuously evolving and developing. We have we have commercial operations. We continue to expand our footprint as a commercially viable entity. But this space continues to change, and so we continue to evolve and develop as part of that. But then, of course, we also have our operational assets. You know, how we make money as an organization comes down to the operational assets and the execution of those businesses. And so we kind of really, you know, complement each other across those two spectrums.
Yeah, and just to add on, I mean, it's been interesting in a way we've had to, like, coming back to how we've evolved as an organization. You know, we're now over 100 people. Growing rapidly. Every Monday, we all get an email with everyone new that's joined. And it used to be maybe once every couple of weeks, we'd have somebody new join, maybe a year ago. And now we have, you know, 5+ people sometimes joining every Monday. So we're really in that rapid growth phase. But I think what's been interesting from a company building standpoint for Tim and me is, you know, one, transitioning from being founder driven to founder led. That's a big part of the journey. And we're super lucky. I mean, Tim and I worked together a long time at Hatch beforehand, but, you know, it's really turned out very complementary in terms of where he can focus and I can focus. And there's so many things going on. I'm a big fan in business building for two people. And I think we're super lucky and fortunate that we're both here. And I think that's one interesting aspect. The other interesting aspect is, you know, we're always doing new things across the business, right? So R&D for sure is where we always want to have like an innovation machine, just looking at ways we can get better, whether it be optimization, whether it be total new innovations. But even I've noticed on the other parts of our business, right? You know, really important parts too, like health, safety, environment, quality. Commercially, how do we engage with customers? You know, as Tim mentioned, structured on the way in for materials coming to us, on the way out, how do we make it the best customer experience possible, right? So that's, you know, any new industry, that's always part of the journey. But it's been really interesting as we've taken a structured approach and then built the company along those lines. And we're really just at the start here in so many ways. And that's what makes it so exciting, I think, every day.
Yeah. So on the topic of those Monday meetings and expanding everything in the direction you're going, who would you love to see in your meetings? What sort of organizations are you looking to partner with? And what sets you apart from competitors out there?
This comes to, I think, technology and the way that batteries are actually handled when you receive them. So before we came along, and Tim alluded to it and so did I, you know, batteries have been really going into legacy type technologies and processes. So the most common way that was dealt with has been high temperature. So going into a furnace, going into a large kiln, these are all called pyrometallurgical. That's the technical term. Just think of it as high temperature. Now, that's been the case because it's just been the path of least resistance, essentially, for a lot of companies to go. And that's really what's been available in the market. And, you know, you think just bigger picture now, just think 10, 20, 30 years in the future, you know, electric everything. Does it make sense that the batteries we're going to be getting back are now going to be checked into a furnace to then have the materials burned off and pollutants spewed into the air? I think none of us can really subscribe to that future, right? I think it just doesn't make any sense. So that's what got Tim and me on really on the track, was to say, no, this is not, we shouldn't take a square peg in a round hole. Let's make a fit for purpose approach here that really is innovated around what these materials are, what they're today, what they've been, what they're going to be in the future, and make future-proofed around that. And that's really been the innovation of what we do. So we can get into that much more, but our technologies, you know, patented, differentiated, low temperature, much more optimal economically and also environmentally. And the core theme there is non-high temperature, which imbues all of these benefits, right? In terms of who we want to partner with, I think, you know, we see a ton of alignment, right, with the supply chain, be it automotive manufacturers, be it battery manufacturers, be it companies that collect and aggregate these batteries. You know, there's all sorts of companies we work with, but there is this general desire to get more economic solutions to deal with these batteries and materials. But also there's a huge focus now on the overall carbon footprint of the supply chain. What is the carbon footprint and the environmental footprint of the way that these batteries are being dealt with? What does that mean for the net benefit of EVs and electric vehicles, right? So we find ourselves, I think, naturally aligned with where this world is going. And that's a very fortunate place to be in, but it's a conscious decision, right? In terms of what we do and how we position ourselves.
Yeah. And as Tim also alluded to, you know, why wait until everyone else decides in 10 years that this is needed? You know, I think if anything, waiting until the last moment or until things are really critical has not served humanity well. But if anyone is listening to this and interested in what you do, I mean, first of all, you mentioned we could get more into this, and this is the first of a series. So if you're listening or watching and wanting to know more, there will be more opportunities to learn more about LiCycle and about this whole picture. But if anyone's listening right now and wants to reach out and get in touch, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, our website is a great resource of information, LiCycle.com. There is a way to get in touch with us right on there. We have a bunch of videos, corporate videos of what we do. I think I've talked at a high level, and so is Tim, on what exactly we do. But if you want to watch some videos about a little bit of a view of our facilities, you know, you can look at that. Feel free to reach out. There's a contact us form on the website, or you can reach us at info@licycle.com. That's info@li-cycle.com. Feel free to reach out. We get a ton of, I'm always amazed at the corners of the earth that come in, I think, and we don't see everything day to day ourselves, but the team gets these amazing inbounds from all corners of the supply chain and our world. So I think the world is really waking up to this need. And I think, you know, when Tim and I started the business 5 years ago, as he said, a lot of people wondering what were we doing. But I think we're squarely finding ourselves now looking up at this mountain that this whole supply chain world, applications with my batteries, are about to launch into. And I think people are starting to think about the cradle to cradle, the end of life cycle, where those batteries go and the waste that generate along the way.
Yeah, it's certainly something that is relevant to me here in Australia, given that here in Australia we have lithium resources that other countries would love, and there's a lot of politicization of the discussion around electric vehicles and where we're headed and what's possible and what's not. And, you know, obviously we're a world leader in not leading on climate now more so than ever. Tim, as an Australian, do you have anything for our Australian audience that you'd love them to hear about the possibilities?
Yeah, we want to see more, you know, more attention to this area. I think that mining is going to be a part of the lithium ion story for some time to come, but recycling is going to grow as a major contributor to this space. And, you know, as a fellow Australian, I don't want to see Australia be left behind in that movement. I don't want to look back in 20 years' time and basically go, what happened to this industry? Because, you know, from that perspective, it would be very sad to see, you know, all the great leaps that have been made forward in the production of these materials and from a virgin source be lost as recycling takes claim and grows in dominance in this space.
Yeah, thank you so much. And before we go, I just wanted to give you both the opportunity to really plug some of your successes and things you're excited about.
I think the greatest success of any leaders in an organization is the teams in which we have. I mean, you're immensely proud. Li-Cycle built two brand new facilities in 2020, which was a very difficult year the world over. And yet Li-Cycle expanded. We grew in both numbers of operations, numbers of staff. And that's really only possible with great leaders within the organization and the people that we have the privilege of working with every day. So, you know, big shout out to the team for all the hard work and the partners who stayed with us. You know, it was a difficult year for many of our customers and both upstream and downstream. But we continue to have great support and we are growing on a daily basis as a result of the partnerships that we've developed. So that's what I would like to shout out to at least.
Yeah, and I can add two to that. I think, you know, one in our industry, I hinted at it, but, you know, lithium-ion batteries aren't, again, they're not really simple to deal with, and safety and environment and quality are actually the hallmarks of what we need our brand to be and how we've really situated our values. So, I mean, through what Tim just said, building two facilities in a COVID time, big team, you know, working on two facilities, one in Kingston, Ontario, Canada, the second in Rochester, New York, no lost time incidents. So no instances that came out of that. And there's also another term, total injury frequency rate, that was also zero. So that is truly, you know, world-class, but it speaks to the values, it speaks to the team, it speaks to the leadership, Tim and, you know, others on our team. And I think that's super important because I think sometimes when people talk about this industry, they forget that. So you have a lot of people excited about, you know, recycling, but we have to have our social license to do this in a net positive way. And it starts with leading from a health, safety, environment, and quality perspective. I could go a lot more about what's coming down the pipe, but maybe we'll wait for the future episodes.
Thank you so much. And yes, I am so excited that this is just one of many. It often strikes me when I interview people in all these different spaces that time flies because there's so much to talk about. But in an exciting way. So thank you so much. If you've just been listening or just tuned in to have a look at this recording, you've been looking at the first of what will be a series of our Green Cycle podcast with Li-Cycle. So I've been joined by Tim Johnston, who is one of the co-founders and executive chairman, and also RJ Kachar, who is another co-founder, president and CEO of Li-Cycle. Thank you both for this introduction to what you do. It only makes me even more excited about our next episodes because there's so much to talk about. When I heard about your organization, I was just like, lithium, I have so many questions about lithium. And I'm sure I'm not the only one, you know, with my head in climate problems and solutions all the time here in Australia and elsewhere who also has a lot of questions about lithium. So it's nice to hear that there are some good news stories and some answers out there that you can bring us. Thank you both again for joining me.
Appreciate you being here. Thank you very much.
And look forward to future episodes. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Green Cycle podcast. We'll be back again with more episodes featuring Li-Cycle's leaders and others in the clean tech and sustainability industry. You can find out more about Li-Cycle at www.li-cycle.com.